chances of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across, and he has it off the line. Shot and follow up, and it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero.
That's called a Giroud header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma. Strepitosa in questa lì.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks Rashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice. And not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Jack Wilshere to Zola, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere! It's stunning from Arsenal!
Bradley swings it in invitingly, oh my word, it's gone straight in, it's Bradley!
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast for the second week in a row. I don't know, I gotta count my lucky stars, I guess. We have Joe in studio.
You should play the lottery tonight.
I'm definitely gonna play the lottery tonight.
Today, whenever.
What's up, Joe? How are you?
It's good to be back here, Reg. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, for sure we do, for sure we do. Tonight's show, we're gonna recap Champions League. Might touch on a little bit of an EPL review. We'll definitely get into what we are going to be seeing this upcoming weekend. A couple of big games. We're going to talk about some coaches that could be on the hot seat early on in the season.
I think as the weeks go on, we can officially say these guys are definitely on the hot seat. Their jobs are in jeopardy.
And we'll go through all the leagues and tell you all the coaches that we think might be looking for a new job in January. We're also going to discuss, I don't know, are we going to discuss TFC? Do we really want to?
They are out. For this weekend, for this week's show, what do you think?
I think so too.
They're in a 3-game losing streak, so that's about it. We're going to talk about TFC. They need wins. Talking about coaches on the hot seat.
Well, we're not going to bring that up. We're also going to hit our two segments, What a Hit and the Flat Four.
Reggie will be going 0 for 4 this weekend or this week, so you should definitely tune in to hear how he's going to go 0 for 4. And this week, it is a precursor, if you will. It's going to be foreshadowing two segments that are going to be on in the future. We've talked about them before.
Oh, boy.
Right? About some Canadian soccer, you know, some Canadian international stuff, up-and-coming Canadians, as well as the NCAA soccer realm.
This is what the Flat Four is about?
One of them. Stay tuned. Okay. You stay tuned, too, Reg.
Okay. And we might do, if we have enough time, we might hit our Joe's Serie A wrap-up.
Not sure Reggie's going to have any time for that.
But definitely, as usual, get to us on our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can get us on Twitter, @football_weekly. You can also get us on Twitter on our individual Twitter accounts as well. Go to the website to see those. You can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, number of different ways you can get our podcast. Go to the website, go to the subscribe page, and you can see all the different options there. Joe, are we ready?
As ready as I'll be, Reg. Let's go.
All right, let's go. So guys, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. So in this week's show, we're going to start off talking about something that actually we brought up in a couple of shows ago when we did our show called Minnows. Joseph and I decided to keep our eye on two specific teams in the EPL that were labeled Minnows. Joe picked Leicester City, and I picked Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, indeed.
I'm good.
Well, you're good so far. You're
Dude,
good.
I'm really good so far.
You're good 5 games into the season.
Wow.
You're good.
Crown them.
So we have Leicester City sitting in a surprising second place with 11 points.
I'm not surprised, Reggie. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, wow.
They've only dropped 4 points this whole season out of 5 games, which is pretty incredible.
In the last EPL round, we if you're watching, they were down 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Aston Villa, who, by the way, scored two fantastic goals.
Yeah, for sure.
From Jack Grealish and, it escapes me now. But it was fantastic. Carlos Gil, is that what it is, Reggie?
I can't remember who anyway, scored. They were two crackers, though.
They were fantastic goals.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is it. You know, does Leicester have, you know, enough to come back? And I was thinking to myself watching the game, we were just talking off air, saying, you know, Ojoa, you know, what did he do? Did he come in? And he comes in and changes the game, because he did come in at 2-0, I believe.
Right. He did.
Right? Or they were down, anyhow, they were still 2-0 down when he was on the field. And this guy, again, finding a way, Jamie Vardy, it's not the prettiest sometimes from him.
So bad. He's so bad, man.
He's not your typical, but God. He's just finding the net, isn't he? Are they going to go away? And I tell you, I don't know.
Well, he always scored for them, even when they were in the championship, even when they were here last season, when they were struggling last year. He was always scoring, but to watch him, we sit there and we look, oh, if you're leading scorer on your team, you should play on your national team. But I saw him play with England. He's not that level.
No, I mean.
Not that level. But... For his team, he's decent. Yeah,
he's being rewarded for his form, his club form, for sure. For the England fans out there, I don't think that they are going to fancy their chances with him as a starter. But no, you never know. Crazier things have happened. Luca Toni. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. He's still playing, isn't
he? He's still playing, still scoring. Listen, Filippo Inzaghi, that's actually who he is, Rich. This is the Filippo Inzaghi of the EPL. Yeah. Just finding a way, you know, almost like a hockey player. He's always around the net, and it hits him and so on, to use that reference. You know, a guy who's maybe in basketball where the plays aren't designed for him.
He always gets those garbage buckets.
Yeah. But, I mean, garbage buckets, garbage goals, second place, Leicester City. Once again.
That's it.
How long is this going to go?
You know? Well, you got to figure...
When do they come back to earth?
You got
to
figure Chelsea's going to get their act together. Maybe Southampton or even Liverpool will get their acts together and take their, rightful place. Like you said last week in the flat four, it's only a couple of teams that have won the Premier League since 92. So take their rightful place in the upper echelon, I guess top four of the EPL.
I think
before those guys come up, because it's very surprising what's happening in the top half of the EPL this season.
Of course, and then Reggie, we just finished talking about a transfer window that just closed, a summer one, but you know that January one will also be telling too. And unfortunately, teams like Palace and Leicester City aren't going to be the ones buying too much, right? So maybe their fortunes don't get turned around. But you know these points that they're getting now, we always mention this, they're obviously worth as much as they will be in April and May.
Exactly.
So, you know, these teams make no qualms about it. They want salvation, right? Because every year that you stay up, it gives you another chance to, you know, reload, lock and reload, just like Crystal Palace and Leicester have done.
Right.
Right? So,
and you bring up Crystal Palace, which was my team that I was watching, that I labeled the minnow of the season. And they're sitting in sixth place.
They're still sitting pretty, yeah.
They are, and they're coming off a 1-0 loss to Man City, which if anybody of you watched that game, it was a good game, a solid game. The tactics that Alan Pardew implemented into the game was just incredible. Shut down this big, bad, high spending, high-flying Man City.
Yeah.
All the money that they've spent on players, Sterling, De Bruyne, who else did they bring in? They have Yaya Toure, Aguero's there.
Yeah, the quality of them is unmatched.
It's unmatched, but a 17-year-old has to save them in the 80th minute or 89th minute of the game. Has to save them. Crystal Palace loses 1-0. But, I mean, I think they were full value for that loss, even though they lost. I think they were full value.
You mentioned Alan Pardew again.
I mean,
this is, if we flash back to a year ago, hanging on by a thread.
Right.
At Newcastle. You talk about a guy who's resurrected his managerial career.
Well, I don't think anybody can coach Newcastle by the looks of it.
It seems like the Bermuda Triangle at the moment, right?
Yeah, sitting in last place, right?
Yeah, I guess he's laughing pretty loudly now. I mean, I know a lot of these managers and players, ex-players, they never feel that way for their club unless, you know, their former clubs, I should say, unless the fans absolutely, you know, the supporters make their life miserable, but they don't like to see their former clubs, you know, languish that way. But, I mean, if you're Alan Pardew, I mean, they're no joke. We know that. And to sit where they are now, you got to figure that they are, at this point, a good bet to be safe, if not finish in the top, I would dare say 10?
Well,
I don't know.
You got to win your games at home, and their home field, Selhurst Park, is probably one of the, it's tough to play there.
It is tough, yeah.
I mean, you got the fans right on you. It's a small, intimate stadium. And, I mean, they play for them.
Yeah, and they're playing for them, for sure. And they're playing for him, too.
Well, exactly.
So, exactly. Yeah, like I said. So, you know what? Next year, basically what we're saying, by May, whatever, Leicester City will win its Premier Championship, Premier League Championship, and Crystal Palace will qualify for the Champions League.
Everybody relax. Everybody relax. We're not saying that at all. Well, I'm not saying that, but
yeah. Well, put it this way: I'm saying that if it happens.
Okay.
So if it does happen,
so take your rupees to Vegas and put a couple of shekels down on that and see what happens. I guess, right?
Good luck with that, by the way. But you know, bottom line is Leicester. They're putting up more than a fight. Obviously, same with Palace. I mean, I say it again: 2-0 down. Wow, with 15 odd minutes left, 3-2. This guy, that funny little thing known as momentum and confidence is really driving them for sure.
So throughout the season, we'll be watching those two minnows that we picked and see where they end up at the end of the season.
If they don't end up to be sharks.
Exactly. Jeez. Exactly. But I can see someone like Leicester or even Palace knocking in, even if it's Europa League, knocking their way through that, into that, I should say. But I can't see them finishing top four.
That would be the story of the season. Let's get serious here. That might be the story of the season, not only the EPL, but probably Europe. That does happen. So
100.
We shall see.
100%. Just wanted to mention Dortmund as well. 9-0, I believe. Haven't lost a game yet.
Hello.
Looking down on Bayern Munich. We spoke about them last week or the week before, they're playing really well.
They're players, and even if in the international break a little bit, but you know, Gundogan again. This is what I expected from him. I mean, this team is the real deal.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Thomas Tuchel. I think I called him Tuchel the last time. It's Tuchel? Pronounced Tuchel. He's got them playing. And
at this point, you can call him anything, Reg, because he's winning.
Call him a genius, right?
That's it.
Call him a genius.
Wow.
I know. So moving on from that, we're going to talk about, you want to leave Champions League for second half, or you want to do it now?
No, let's talk about it later. We got other stuff to get to, and then we'll get to them. We'll give them the fair time.
We mentioned EPL.
Oh boy!
And there are. Oh, and I got a during the Champions League. I got a couple of things to say about
festering inside, Reg.
A team from North London. There's only one team from North London in the Champions League ever, so we'll talk about them then. I need 2 or 3 minutes just to vent, and that's it.
Well, I'm gonna add to that, and I'm gonna give what has been called a. I'm going to give tough love now.
To who?
On that.
To Arsenal?
Yes. And not to the, not to the supporters, but as if I were in the room at the Emirates, let's say.
Okay.
At the training ground.
Okay.
To the players.
Okay. Yeah. I want to hear that. Okay. I want to hear that. We'll stay in the EPL. Just talked about the minnows, Leicester City and Crystal Palace. There's a couple of pretty big games coming up this week. Weekend, I should say.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a big game. Yeah, that's the understatement, Reggie. It's a big game. It is a big game.
It's a big game, but Stoke versus Leicester City. Now, we're going to... No. Obviously,
on a rainy night in Stoke.
Obviously joking. Chelsea plays Arsenal, 7:45 a.m., first game of the day.
It kicks off the weekend.
At Stamford Bridge. Chelsea coming off an impressive Champions League game. Arsenal coming off...
A
Champions League game. We won't even describe it. What are we going to see here?
For me, it's easily the biggest game of the EPL year.
So
far, right? Based on what's been happening or recent results. And obviously you mentioned the Champions League. You know, Reg, this is... It's typical Mourinho versus Wenger here. The response. We always talk about this. A response. Arsenal's back in a similar spot. Coming off an unfavorable result in Champions and need to go to difficult ground against a familiar foe.
Right.
And they need to get something out of this game. There's nothing else to say about this.
Right.
This is not... Arsenal cannot go here and play its pretty football, you know, champagne football, without a result. They need to show and their teeth here. They got to get something out of this. Because we all know that Mourinho, his teams, no matter what their... However his struggles are, they're going to be lifted by this result that they had in midweek in Champions. And they're going to be chomping at the bit playing Arsenal.
Well, it also comes down to, and Mourinho will never admit this, but he left out four players for the Champions League game in Israel, I believe, or was that Stamford Bridge, actually? But he left out four players. He left out John Terry, Ivanovic, Diego Costa, and Matic. He'll never say he left them out to rest them to play Arsenal.
Never.
Never say that. He'll rest them because he'll tell you that they rested them because, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I can't even come up with the reasons that Mourinho would, but they're looking at this like it's a big game as well. And for, I guess, the last two or three seasons, I don't see Mourinho taking this Arsenal game, a game against Arsenal, this seriously, where he's resting guys. I've never seen that before.
Well, I think he gets that this is the obvious here, right? This can lead to a good stretch for either team. This could be a turning point here. I mean, there's, again, to state the obvious. You know, Mourinho, I think it was unbelievable. He banned, like, banter and laughing and joking this week in training.
I read that.
You know, I mean, to say that, I mean, do you think anybody would be laughing and joking in Chelsea training this week?
No.
I mean,
I think Hazard could, I think.
Maybe, yeah. Like, so. This guy, he's, like we said, Reg, like, he knows what he was doing. He knew that, you know, if you're anything close to what they thought they were going to be, to struggle against, you know, that team, Maccabi, from Tel Aviv, I think that was the team they played?
Yes.
Right? If you're going to struggle against that team, with all due respect to them, at home, at the Bridge, of course he was looking to that game against Arsenal.
Of course,
I think
he was.
You know, he's looking to change things, to give the team a jolt. We've talked about this before. I think this is it. And we know Mourinho, he definitely fancies his chances against Arsenal at home. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to my point before, we know that it's a big game for Mourinho and Arsenal. Mourinho and Chelsea. They're lower in the standings. We get it. Arsenal's not that much higher, but higher in the standings. Where do they stand, Reg? I mean,
Arsenal, fourth.
Okay, so they need to respond from the game that they had in midweek.
When we discuss that game, we'll talk about this more, but I watched the game, unfortunately. The Arsenal Champions League game, I watched it, and I honestly don't know if they could play better. And I'll explain that more when we're talking about Champions League, because you're going to be sitting here saying, "Oh, they lost. They played terrible. What do you mean they can't play?"
No,
I don't think they. I think it has more to do with what the other team was doing than Arsenal played bad.
Reggie, what was one of the best results Arsenal had last year? And we talked about. It was early on in the EPL season, and we said, "Wow, this is the type of victory they need." They didn't play their best football, and they got a win. It was early against one of the big teams.
Oh, it might have been City,
in Manchester City, and we were talking about this.
Right,
that's the Arsenal that needs to show up here.
But that was a total reversal of the tactics that Arsenal always uses.
Like, and they
want to play, like we said, the champagne football. But they didn't play that game.
That's right. And they played on the counter.
That's it.
And you think of the characteristics of their players. I mean, even Barcelona, we talk about them a ton, as being a benchmark, a standard for football. You know, under Luis Enrique, they've admittedly said, and again, they had their struggles early last year. We were talking about Enrique struggling. They even said that, you know, they've admitted, yeah, we've gone to playing. We can now play a counter style if need be. Well, the need is here for Arsenal. Well, they need to get back to that because it's what wins, Reg, it's because they're capable of doing it based on their personnel.
Well, I think I agree with you 100%, but I think it's more Arsenal have a coach who's been labeled stubborn, arrogant, whatever you want to, genius, whatever word you want to use to describe
him. Check, maybe, right?
I don't know. But it's kind of like, we're Arsenal, we play this way, you adjust to us. But now the teams have adjusted to it. What plan B does Arsenal have to get through it?
And this is why Wenger, who I've defended on this show, needs to show his versatility as a coach, as a tactician, because he did it against City in that game. And it's almost like they do it sometimes. They provide those changes. It happens, right? They can't play a bit on the counter without always playing, you know, total, you know, like we call it champagne football and like that total. Mm-hmm. How about some possession with a purpose, you know, playing.
Oh, I like that. Possession with a purpose. I like that.
I mean, that's what Arsenal sometimes lacks. They lack that bite and that effectiveness and purpose. And I can't go back to that game against City. You know, they're built to do that. They can do that. Right. I mean, they can't. They have players who are all comfortable on the ball. They can get up the field. They can push the envelope early. It doesn't always have to be, you know, 4 or 5 touches backward and then go forward. Right? Mm-hmm. They can play on the front foot more often. They need to do it not because we need to see a change for change's sake. They need to do it to get higher up in the standings and to start to become the team that is not only going to finish fourth, but maybe challenge for a title legitimately.
Well, I think they need a couple of pieces in order to challenge. They're not winning the league this year. I can tell you that because the reason, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about this, the reason we don't score a lot of goals, I guess, now, or the goals that we do score has to be some wonder creation out of 20 touches, Ozil, Sanchez has to beat 3 guys and shoot a laser beam into the top corner, right? Yeah. We've seen those goals last season, right?
For sure.
It's just the movement of our strikers or our striker.
Yeah, there's
and that's the reason that's the reason why you see Arsenal get to the, I guess, 20 to 25 feet out from the other opponent's goal, and it's just side to side passing, a couple of passes in, back out, Ozil to Cazola, back to Ramsey back to Cazola, back to Ozil, and there's nothing going, there's nobody penetrating in, nobody penetrating out. It's too many number 10s on the field, if you ask me.
People are always calling for us to disagree, but I can't disagree on this point. I mean, listen, purposeful and effective.
Yeah.
And I think for if you're Arsenal, you need to start, and if you're Arsenal, you're Arsene Wenger, you need to start with that. Because it must have a purpose and it must be effective.
Right. I don't care how long you have the ball.
It doesn't matter.
If you have the ball for 30% of the game and score 5 goals and win the game, who cares about possession?
You know, this is not Arsenal and Arsene Wenger. This is not them at the academy, right? This is not, oh, this is good, and they're comfortable on the ball. This is not a coaching clinic saying, well, this is how we develop young players. This is the highest level of all levels, and it's about results. And, of course, if you can get those results with champagne football, great. But if you constantly are in the same realm, and it's the team that's winning most of the championships are a team like Chelsea, who, you know, the park the bus thing has become so synonymous with them. It doesn't matter. What it's saying is they know how to grind out results. And the one constant that is there is Jose Mourinho. Those players are taking on that persona. Are they struggling this year? Yes, but let's look at the recent passes. That has been effective. Arsenal need to get this game, if we're going to talk about just this one, as a starting point to get some points here.
Right,
that's it. I'm afraid that we'll be talking here next week saying, well, you know, Arsenal played so well, but this happened. And maybe they need to get an ugly win here, or at least an ugly tie. Something. They got to show their teeth here.
I can guarantee you any win against Tottenham, Man City, Man United, or Chelsea will never be ugly in the eyes of...
It'll feel good, because winning is not ugly, Reg.
Exactly.
And, you know, and we, all the pundits will talk about, well, this should happen. Listen, the 3 points is all that counts.
That's
and
that
to
matters.
His credit, that's what Mourinho has always, you know, stressed. He himself will be the first one to tell you it's not working right now with them. I mean, they need this quote unquote more. They're at home, the pressure's on them. So even more the reason why Arsenal can come in here and get something out of this game.
But it's not like it's December or January.
True, but I think this will show the... But it'll stand for something, Reg. How can Chelsea go into this game now? How many games have they lost?
Chelsea? 3.
They can't have a fourth loss.
Yeah, but
in October. But we're not even in October yet.
Like I was going to say, it's not like it's January and they're in 17th place. It's the 6th game of the season and they're only 3 points out of being, you know, back in the top 10.
Yeah, the doubt though will start to creep in. That maybe that's the fear. I know it's early, but this is a starting point for both these teams. I think this is quite easily. I'm excited as a neutral. I'm very excited. If I'm a supporter like you, it's going to be a nerve-wracking 90, 95 minutes.
Well, let's hope that the good guys come out on top.
No matter who those are for you. bottom line for me, Reg, they need to show some... We always talk about identity here. It's a big thing we talk about here.
Yeah.
Arsenal has to prove that they have layers to their identity. Yeah. Right? They got to be like almost like a chameleon here, if you will. We know that they're the best passing team, arguably, in the EPL. We get it. And if people say, well, what are you talking about? No, let's be serious here. They're the closest team to what you would say is the most attractive football playing team in the EPL. They need to have some substance behind this.
Right.
That's my spiel on that. Mourinho's on fire still, even though it's Champions League win. That seat is still hot for me.
Just talked about the biggest game of the weekend, but Man City hosts West Ham, 5th place West Ham.
Oof.
You know, so much improved West Ham. I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of their games. They got this guy from Marseille, Dimitri Payet. What a player. What a player. Very, very creative, very slick, elusive. Great player. Great player. Saturday at 12:30, if you haven't seen West Ham play this season, take that in.
And we talk about, you know, it's a tale of two things. Here's Man City flying high, but okay, undefeated in the EPL.
Clean sheets.
Right?
All over the place.
Okay, and then losing a game in midweek in Champions to Juventus.
I think it's just, I think it's a mental block for that team.
You gotta say, it
was at home. Was it at home too? Was it at the Etihad?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. And again, I hate to say this, they showed what usually we would say about Arsenal, a team like that. Oh, they played some great football, but, you know, they caught us twice. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's modern football.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said it all the time, and that's why football is so great. Home field means that.
Yeah.
It used to mean a ton in all sports, but it really means something in football. And going into an opposing stadium. It used to be that way in the NBA. Oh, you know, where are they playing tonight? The series, especially in the playoffs. It's nowhere more prevalent for me and more obvious how important it is to take a certain mentality on the road as opposed to when you're playing at home.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, we'll talk about Man City and Juve and the Champions
League. We have a lot
to
talk about the Champions.
Oh, so much, so much. Let's get through this and then...
what's our other big game, Rex, that we're highlighting this week?
I guess Southampton versus United. I guess it's Schneiderlin going back to St. Mary's with Man United if he gets to play. Because he hasn't. I don't think he played in midweek. I think they were resting him for that game.
More than him resting, let me tell you.
Did you see the injury, by the way?
Oh.
That's gross.
That's terrible. We're going to get... I guess we'll talk about that shit, but that's...
That's gross.
You hope for a speedy recovery. That's awful.
That's bad. 6 months, I think. They said 6 months, and I was like, that's it? No way, man.
Yeah, how about if you're England, too?
Yeah, exactly. He's gone for Euros, too.
It's just, Luke, you know, Shaw, you feel bad for... Yeah, Luke Shaw's injury. That's right, for Man United. You know, England. There's England. One of the first teams to qualify for the Euros.
Right.
You know, Roy Hodgson seems to, like, you know, maybe this is a good sign here. They've qualified early. They don't have to worry about playing difficult qualifiers late on. And then one of their top players, for sure, most consistent, up and coming, all of those things, has a horrific injury. You wish him well. You really do.
Yeah, for sure. And Welbeck's hurt. I don't think Welbeck's going to make it either. At least they got Rooney, right? Swansea City plays...
Jamie Vardy.
Swansea City plays Everton in another... Oof. I guess that looks like a pretty good game as well. And Newcastle might be up for their first win as they host Watford. But with that team, you never know.
And it's, you know, Newcastle United wake up before January? February? When do they say?
They just seem like a team. It's you know what? I compare them to TFC. It doesn't matter who you bring in. It's the same... garbage. I don't know what it is.
It is. And there's an aura around them.
I don't know what it is.
I don't get it. And, you know, they have a ground like St. James Park. Tough place to play.
Yeah, man.
You would think they're tough to figure out for me. They really are. But like I said, I don't think that there's something that with that team, they don't wake up until late on and they make a push and they save themselves. I heard that David Ginola would be joining their coach. No.
For real?
I didn't. It'd be great.
Fidel Sassoon, here we come,
if you
right?
Listen to our last show. You should have. Anyway.
So those are the games that we're going to be watching this week.
So watch them too.
So you go ahead and watch them and let us know if we've missed anything during the games when we do our recap next week. So, Joe.
Here we go.
Let's get into Champions League.
Wow.
And we'll do that in the second half of the show. So, Joe, Champions League first week.
Wow.
Wow, I was right. I hope you're not a betting man, because you would have lost a lot of money this week.
I know where you're going. You could go. Well, let's get right into it. What did I say about the groups? Who did I say had an easy group?
You said Arsenal had an easy group.
They should have. This is all on Arsenal. Now, okay. Well, I'm going to crap on them too.
No, let's not. We just did them for a little bit. Let's give the listeners a break.
Yeah, okay.
We'll start with Barcelona-Roma.
Oof. Wow.
It's a couple of wows in that game. Scoreline wow, and there was a goal of the season candidate in there as well.
This Roma team, I think, has found an identity. I always say this now.
Yeah.
But the Edin Dzeko thing is what they were missing. I mean, I've always rated this player pretty high.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I think. And I think Roma's one of those teams, the same thing. They play brilliantly. Their play and their attacking prowess was always nice. Nice to watch. They were missing a bit of bite and edge and identity that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you open against Barcelona at home, granted, no problem, and you get a 1-1 result.
Right.
And you were in it. You know, it wasn't like you just squeaked out. And you score a wonder goal. Wonder goal from Florenzi. Like, unbelievable goal from center of a...
If I didn't already have the goal of the week set up, this probably would have been it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'm not doing it over again, so we're using the one I did.
And let's be fair, our listeners can see where we're going here. If you were watching football the last week, you know where we're going with the goal.
Right.
But, I mean, what a great result, obviously. And for Roma, of course, you know, you're getting a point. You're getting anything out of Barcelona.
Right.
It helps you, especially in the group stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this was the, you know, knockout stage and they tied 1-1 at home, we'd still be saying, yeah, you're going to go to the Camp Nou and lose 3-0 or 2-0.
Right.
You know, you're in trouble. But to get a point and get your, you know, your Champions League account calendar going in on the right foot, it's a great result for Roma. And, of course, I think we all believe that Barcelona will be okay.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that could have been better is if they won in the new camp or if they tied in the new camp.
That's right.
That's the only thing that could have been better for this.
That's right.
Out of this result between Roma and Barcelona. So you said Florenzi scored, and I believe it was Suarez who got the goal for Barcelona.
Yeah, and a bad injury here too. Rafinha looked to have picked up a long-term injury here too. So let's, again,
it's
unfortunately...
Bad week for injuries.
Bad week for injuries to some quality players too. So, you know,
All sports.
Yeah, and Barcelona, again, trying to lobby UEFA for, you know, a little lax on the... little leeway, I should say, on their transfer ban because he got hurt, but...
Why?
Exactly. Well, I think they were denied. So, and rightfully so. If you're banned, you're banned. You can't just.
Why would they want to do something? Why would they do that? Why would they ask for that? When you have Messi, Suarez, Neymar, Rakitic, Iniesta, you have Arden Taran coming next in a couple of months. He's going to be playing. Why would you ask for that?
Yeah.
Who are you going to go get?
The excuse box here is kind of like.
This is why I don't like Barcelona. This is why I don't like Barcelona. I didn't know about that.
They did ask, and. You know, well,
stuff like this.
You know, they did ask. They were denied. I think here, rightfully so. Okay, people, a great result. Luis Enrique going back to his Roma, his former Roma.
Right.
Here's a great point. Just a little thing here. You know, when he was there, so he tried to make, you know, Roma like Barcelona. I think he even made a statement like that. You ain't gonna make anybody like Barcelona.
Well, you can't.
Just so we know, but you know, again, I'll focus on the positive thing here for Roma. Great, good result for them. Right, good result, very positive result. I think Barcelona will still take it, though. I think they're not. There's no panic here.
So we said Barcelona Roma coming out, no? Or did I say Roma wasn't coming out?
You probably said Roma's not coming out. I'm just putting it out there. Hey, I might have said it.
Sounds like something I would say.
Yeah, probably. So who was in that group with Roma and Barcelona?
I think Bayern Leverkusen and... Bate Borisov.
I definitely picked Roma to come out. You probably picked Leverkusen.
Yeah, I think I did. I picked Barcelona and Leverkusen to come out. So
that's you.
Serie A is showing improving this week, I guess, eh?
Telling that Roma, great result.
So we'll move on to another Serie A team that's in Champions League who traveled to England to play Manchester City at the Etihad this past week.
Had a bit of a day.
Had a bit of a day, indeed. Final score, 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
For Juve, on the road, and we talked about a little bit in the first half of the show that it just seems like Man City has a block when it comes to Champions League. They're undefeated in the EPL, and they haven't let in a goal, and they come out and play like this in Champions League. I don't get it.
Again. Right? Again. They do this again.
Oh, yeah, again.
Right? This is tale of two teams, I guess, going in different directions in their... domestic league, right. And then opening their Champions League again. It's funny how wins can change, you know, a team's persona or outlook. Here you have Man City not giving up a goal, like you said, and, you know, maximum points in their domestic league. Roma with 1 point from 3 games.
it's funny how those two type of scenarios switch themselves from league play to Champions League.
Right, and then that one result, you know, leads into now saying, oh, you know, oh, everything's fine in Juve, everything's fine in Torino, everything's good with the event in the Juventus camp, I should say. And then, oh, same old City, fragile City in the, and you know, in the Champions League campaign. Yeah, Mandzukic scoring here.
I think Morata as well.
And Alvaro Morata, again, picking up where he left off in terms of his Champions League performances. Right, so maybe against a little bit against the run of play, but hey, the victories count, the 3 points count, and they got 3 points at the Etihad.
How did the number 10 play? The new number 10 for Juve, Paul Pogba.
He had a better game this game. I think he's getting people, again, we need to give him a break.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still a young player. We get it. I don't think that, and he has to prove anything anymore about his right to be there and so on and whatever, you know, accolades he receives. He's earned them. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So I have time to wait for him.
Right.
So, but Man City again, you know, your Champions League gets off to a rough start once again. Here's Pellegrini again. I mean, answer those questions, and rightfully so.
Staying in Manchester.
Ugh.
Memphis Depay going back to his old team and actually scoring and right. kind of celebrating, which kind of...
Shocking a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But PSV Eindhoven versus Manchester United. And United loses 2-1 in this game.
I mean...
I don't know, man.
You know,
bad week for English teams, I tell you that.
A bad year for sure. You know, obviously the Luke Shaw injury, we mentioned this.
Right.
I mean, we wish him well and so on.
Exactly.
We see that. Obviously, that hurts Manchester United, obviously. Hurts England, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Man United. I mean, they've shown improvements. They take a step back and so on. This is still a team that, for me, is nowhere near where they should be. They're getting more leeway.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, because they're Manchester United.
You know? But they should. You think that would maybe give them more reason that people would be on them more for this result? This is not going to be an easy group, obviously.
Well, did you watch the game?
Part of it I did, Reg, yeah.
I watched most of the game, and Man United played like garbage.
They weren't there.
The passing was atrocious. Atrocious. It was tough for them to string four or five passes together. And PSV was flying around the field, breaking everything up and hitting them on the counter. And that's what it was. Until the end of the game where they just packed everybody in the box and was heading the shit out of the box. Right?
And more and more, this is becoming, like, you know, a way to, we understand this, to get the results. I mean, good for PSV. It's a great result for PSV.
For sure it is.
You know, and Manchester United, again, you start on the back foot in Champions. It's not ideal. And, you know, I always say, it's crucial to get off to a good start, and that's the obvious thing to say.
Right.
But especially for a team, you know, like Man United. Again, I think that they've been overblown in terms of their how good their performances have been this year. I think they've had glimpses of some performances, but to state the obvious, this is not somewhere they wanted to be and start this way. Well, you know, especially with the team, with all due respect to the team they're playing.
And it's only going to get tougher because they still have to go to Moscow and they still have to play Wolfsburg. So this is not an easy group.
Not a gimme for them. No.
You'd figure that going to PSV, even though it's an away game, you'd still come away with the victory and have points to play with when you have to make that December trip to Moscow.
Absolutely. Especially when you have their most dangerous player from last year.
Yeah, exactly. You have their best player from last year. He wants to go out there and show and prove, which he did. He scored, but... the same time, you know what I mean? You still have to find a way to finish off the game. And I know the injury was a big thing. It kind of hits you. I don't know if you've ever been on the field when someone's been seriously injured off your team. It hits you mentally.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the guy, but you still have to go out and play this game.
There's an absolute, like, little emotional hangover that occurs, right. For sure.
Exactly.
Right? When that happens, your level, you know, drops and so on. And then it's natural. People say, well, they're professionals. They should get over it. Granted, but it's still, you know, human beings are natural. Naturally, that's going to happen. And, yeah, absolutely. To get recharged for that,
right?
It's difficult.
It is. Real Madrid, Shakhtar.
Wow.
4-0 for Real Madrid. And I wanted to bring that up because... The last show that we did, not last week, but the week before, we spoke about Ronaldo and Messi having zero goals in, what, the first three games of La Liga?
That changed.
That changed quickly. Ronaldo went 0-5 really quick. So he scored five goals in one game? I believe. So he's up to 5 goals now. And you were telling me that he has 80 goals in Champions
League. They're saying 80 goals in Champions League. That's incredible. The guy who's in second, it's Messi, I think. So
it's got to be, right?
This is like, regardless of who you think out of those two is the better player, so on, you've heard me a lot say who my preference is. But let's make no mistake about it. Cristiano Ronaldo is a fantastic player. One of the best players of all time. You have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is incredible. He's scoring goals at will.
Yeah, he was taking, I guess he took out his frustration that one
game.
Oh,
I think he did. He made a statement, didn't he?
Sure did. Sure did. And to finish off our Champions League review, we're going to talk about a game that took place in Croatia.
How are we going here, Reg?
Well, I promised we would, so. It took place in Croatia. Dinamo Zagreb against the Arsenal. And people, what a disgrace! I was embarrassed, and I'm in a BBM group with a bunch of Arsenal fans. I'm embarrassed. I was embarrassed.
Reggie, I mean, you heard me talk earlier.
Yes.
I've said this about Arsene Wenger last year. I think when they played Monaco.
Yes.
The word is again. It's unacceptable.
It's gross.
And if you want to continue to be this team,
which team is that?
Well, the team that drives a fancy car.
Mm-hmm.
Puts on the nicest clothes,
mm-hmm.
but then stays home
mm-hmm.
and doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
Then this has got to continue.
Yeah, for because sure. They're doing it well, eh?
It's not good enough. This is like it's deja vu. Well, we've talked about this.
We say this every time. It's not good enough.
And dare I say that this is, you know, I defend coach. He's hot. This is hard to defend. You go to Zagreb. No one is saying, with all due respect to Dinamo Zagreb, a quality team, no doubt. There's no gimme game. We get it. But if you're Arsenal and you have the resources and players at your disposal, such as this, to go here and to lay an egg like this, doesn't work. It does not work. And it's, you know, it could cost them qualification.
It's tough now. Because I don't think you're going to get anything from Bayern Munich.
You know? And
depending on when you play Bayern Munich. If Bayern Munich's already through, and they got a game on the weekend coming up, and they want to rest players, you might get something out of a game like that. But if you're playing Bayern Munich closer into the, I think they play them next, actually.
Yeah, like, you can't.
So, I fear for these
This
guys.
Was not a case of Arsenal just dominating the game, and something didn't go their way.
Right.
This team did not show up, Reggie. They did not show up.
Well, the coach of Zagreb, his name is Zoran Mamic. He said he spoke to Slaven Bilic, who's the coach of West Ham, and Slaven Bilic told him exactly how to beat Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Take away their space and be on them when they get the ball. Game over. And that's what happened.
And we talked about them not being versatile.
Right.
And only playing a certain way.
Right.
And to me, that arrogance could be stubbornness, right?
Right.
And, you know, and that's what it is. To me, this is, how does this not, at halftime, how is this not discussed approach and so on? Maybe it was, I'm not sure. But again, not to react in a certain way. This is unbelievable how Arsenal continuously has these results this way. And again, I just don't see where this change will come from. This team, I hate to say that, you know, this identity might be that team that is, I hate to use this word, that soft quality.
That's fine. Soft.
That just doesn't pull through. And again, people will say, well, you know, that Chelsea, you know, they parked the bus and this and that. Results.
They do what they need to do to win.
This is not a nice little academy where you're developing these nice young players to play the prettiest soccer and to develop their soccer playing ability. This is the big time. This is the Champions League. You are right. A big club, one of the biggest clubs in the world. You cannot afford to go there and display that type of performance. It's just not good enough. And it shows me that this Arsenal team is still the team that might get into the quarterfinal. They get anything else, it's a bonus.
Well, even all the Arsenal fans out there, okay, we're clamoring, we're hollering, buy this player, buy that player, do this, do that. And we sit back and we look at the roster and we say, you know what, we're good here, we're good there, we're good there. If we don't buy anybody here, we don't buy anybody there. My whole point of bringing in players in transfer markets, whatever, off-season, whatever, is for times like we just saw, okay? Now, I'll explain it. You have a game against Chelsea. Don't get it confused. Jose Mourinho was resting players to play Arsenal, okay? So, if you want to rest players against a lesser Zagreb that you should beat, you have to have quality replacements at the positions that you want to rest players in, correct?
I would say so.
Okay, so you go out in the transfer market, and if you don't, you don't have to go out and get a Messi or Ronaldo or a Benzema. You don't have to, but quality cover at key positions.
That's essential.
If you don't want to play Francis Coquelin because we're going to play Chelsea on Saturday, fine. But who's next up? Mikel Arteta? That's who you're starting?
There's the same old thing. This team does not have enough grit, and I hate to keep coming back to this. And so now, for the first time, I would say it, you know, and I'm very coach-centric supporting. I get it. But if Arsene Wenger cannot and will not attempt to adjust or make some type of change in his tactics here, again, I'm calling for players to come as well. If not, then I dare say it's the first time I've said it on this show. It's time for him to go.
Buddy.
It's time for him to go. I've been his biggest supporter, but it's for me, this. Now, we could be talking here. No, but it's still going to prove our point. Because if they do turn it around, Reggie, it'll be because they did adjust their tactics and their approach. And for Arsenal, that might be a mental thing and psychological thing, which is half the battle.
Arsene Wenger will never tell you that it's the tactics. He'll always say, we got unlucky. There was a couple of balls that could have gone this way and a couple of balls that could have... Because we scored an own goal in the game. And if that doesn't go in, and we're just a different game.
It's always a backtracking.
If Drew doesn't get a red card, it's a different game. But it's always something else other than you picked the wrong team and you played the wrong tactic.
Yeah, and for me, like we said, I've talked about it. I think that they would really much... They might benefit from playing sometimes on the counter, encourage it sometimes. And again, the approach. We talk about this, about their approach, their philosophical approach. It looked like the Monaco game of last year. They did not look into it.
Right.
And where is this coming from? Right? And you cannot hide from this as a coach. If your team comes out and is not ready to play and it is a regular occurrence, you will not get rid of every single footballer. It's the manager.
Right. Unless you're TFC, then you get rid of every player.
That's right.
For the last night, we won't talk about that.
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
We won't talk about that.
But, you know, but I think this is, it's just, I don't know. I mean, for me, Reggie, in terms of, did it not look like, you're an Arsenal, you know, no bigger Arsenal fan than I know. Mm-hmm. It did not look like a Monaco game from last year.
It did. It looked like
these guys looked like they were, like, drunk.
It looked like the Monaco game, and it looked like the Anderlecht game when they were up 3-0 and he ended up tying 3-3 at home.
Sleeping, right? Again.
They fall asleep, and it's just, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and not able to close it out. Show that grit, that character. Manage the game, right? Manage the situation.
I think these guys, the way that they're set up and the players that they have, I think they should play. They should gear more towards being a counter-attacking team.
I definitely think that should be at least part of their, you know, forte. It should be at least in, you know, their bag to at least have the ability to change into that style. Once you know, I mean, all these great teams have that ability. Right, and I think that they cannot continue to be one-dimensional.
Because you want to see Alexis Sanchez and, I guess, Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain with half the field in front of them flowing.
And then you have this kid like Bellerin too. Like this.
Yeah. They rested him.
And that I couldn't understand that either.
They rested him, Ramsey, and Cech. I have no idea why you're resting Peter Cech. He's got three shots in the last three games.
You made that change for a reason. We talked about Chelsea and the difference there. They played a team at home, and with all due respect to the team they played, Tel Aviv, Dinamo Zagreb is at home, and you know, if you were to pick one of the two to play, it wouldn't be Zagreb out of those two. So, again, a humility or lack of humility in the, you know, the choices. We always talked about how important game one is. Again, Mr. Wenger, the finger must be pointed at you.
Well, again.
So, anyway.
Of course. Oh, my God.
We move on.
We're not going to go through every game, obviously. Other winners from Champions League round one, Wolfsburg, Benfica. PSG beat your Malmo. Atletico won, Sevilla won, Bayern won, and Zenit St. Petersburg won, as well as Bayern Leverkusen, actually. plus Chelsea's 4-0 win against Tel Aviv. So looking forward to the second week of Champions League.
For sure.
Arsenal are playing Olympiacos at home. Sevilla Juve is probably going to be a good game, as well as Shakhtar PSG. So hopefully Arsenal can turn it around for those games. But also, you want to see good games.
Most yeah, and definitely. Teams should be starting to hit their stride now. All the leagues are in full swing and so on. So this is where you should start to see, you know,
and there won't be another international break until late October, right?
That's right.
Okay, so everyone should be focused on their league and midweek games if they're in Champions League. Or Tottenham, who played on Thursdays because they're in Europa. So, Joel, do we have time for Serie A review? Or do you want to do our segments?
Let's do our segments. I mean, Serie A, we'll just talk about quickly. Last week's big result was the Milan Derby. And Inter Milan actually won.
Oh, I said I was going to watch that, didn't I?
You did, Fred. So, jeez, Fred, you're killing me. So basically, Freddie Guarin scores the winner. As a neutral, I'm not neutral in this game. So yeah, I was hoping you'd be the neutral, Reg.
For sure, okay.
But AC Milan.
I still can be. It's Serie A. It's the same, right?
Now I feel like the Gunners here. good performance, actually, from AC Milan, surprisingly. Balotelli comes in the 60-some-odd minute, hits the post, changes the game a bit. But Freddie Guarin's strike ends up being the winner. Surprisingly here's Inter now. 3-for-3, 9 points, and so on. AC Milan drops the game, but there are promising things here. I mean, Juventus has 1 point after 3 games, so I think this will settle in and we'll start to see them kind of pick it up.
But hopefully the momentum from beating City at home
will drive them forward, as well as Roma too. So
Roma too, yeah.
That was the big thing. We'll look forward to it. We'll talk more about, you know, what happened with the results on our next show.
Can you imagine the next day or the next practice you have if you're Roma and you just came off a 1-0, a 1-1 tie with Barcelona?
I think there's going to be a bounce in your step.
A little bit. A little bit, and I think that would probably come over into the league as well. All right, you want to do? Let's start with the flat four.
0-for-4 for you.
0-for-4 for me. Let's see.
Prediction, guys. Prediction.
Okay, let's see.
It's 4-4. It's 4-4. It's 4. Oh, brilliant!
Okay, so question one, Reggie.
Okay.
So for everybody who knows, again, I have said this earlier in our podcast today. We're going to be bringing you guys up to date. Maybe something that is not always done. I know there's a few people doing it on Twitter and so on, and kudos to you for doing this. We're going to shed some light on Canadian-born players playing in the NCAA in Division 1 or 2 soccer and doing their thing there, because more and more players are coming out of there going to the MLS, vis-a-vis Kyle Larin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll talk about some up-and-coming guys. Actually, a national player of the week that was from the GTA, also in Division 1 soccer. So this is an homage to that. And where we're going. And we know that Reggie also played at a pretty established Division I school at UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So, Reggie.
Yes.
I think you might get this one. So I'm going to predict not an 0-for-4. I'm going to predict maybe here a 1-for-4.
Okay.
So, Reggie.
Yes.
Many esteemed programs in Division I soccer have won multiple national titles.
Yes.
But there is one team that stands alone, which team has won the most Division I crowns in men's soccer?
I'd have to guess, but I think I'm correct when by saying the Virginia Cavaliers.
Does the booze ring round here in this stadium?
Zing to me. Reggie is 0-for-1.
What? Who?
Indiana. Indiana with 8. The University of Indiana Hoosiers with 8 national championships.
Really?
Virginia with 7.
They when I was playing, those guys were like the Barcelona of
royalty, right? Soccer. Bruce Arena, right? From I believe coach at Virginia. We had Claudio Reyna and so on. So a lot of players from Virginia.
We actually played them there at their field.
There you go. So yeah,
3-0.
Nonetheless, 0-for-1. So now, in honor of, we came off International Week, so because we're going to be talking about, and again, shedding some light on Canada and where we're going with our young players, hopefully toward a World Cup, or dare I say, but the Olympic qualifying roster was announced today, under 23, and we'll talk about that in our next show, possibly, and a lot of guys from around where we grew up, and a lot of players that I've had the fortunate opportunity to work with or coach against or see and so on. So we're going to go with three questions regarding the last time Canada qualified for the FIFA World Cup
back in
1986 in Mexico.
Okay.
Reggie.
Yes.
The coach of that team for Team Canada was who?
Coach?
The coach. Manager, if you will. Smelling. Over to.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think
you
of
give
anybody.
Up, do you?
I can't think of anybody.
Tony Waiters.
Tony Waiters.
Don't panic. Okay, I won't.
So Reggie is 0-2. And I'm smelling. We're going 0-4. Okay, Reggie, we're going to move on. The captain of that said team, of the 1986 Canadian World Cup team.
Oh, what the hell is it? Bruce Wilson.
World class.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Reggie. Gets
guy with the big beard at the back, man. That's the only guy I remember.
Reggie got it. Played for Toronto Blizzard as well.
Sure
for those
did.
Of you guys listening from the Toronto area, Reggie makes amends. I 1-3. Okay, Reggie, can you go 50-50 here?
Let's try.
You know, this is a giveaway. I should, you know what?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Because I gave him this answer.
Okay.
The only time Canada qualified for the World Cup.
No, give me something else.
We know it. He does know it, doesn't he? Well, we're going to give it to him, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, the last time last time Canada qualified for the World Cup in 1986, they clinched playing on this or in this city.
Halifax.
Is that your final answer, Reggie?
They played Honduras in Halifax.
Final answer?
Yeah. Yes.
Incorrect.
Absolute humiliation.
Oh, why?
He was close, ladies and gentlemen.
Why?
It was part of in our beautiful maritime provinces on our east coast. It was in St. John's, Newfoundland.
I got Honduras right though, no?
You did. You know, Reggie, it was famous. So there you go. There you have it.
Humiliated, humbled, and taken apart.
1-4. Reggie almost had it. He had me scared. If you paid attention, you know, to me after we had our soccer beverages. No, cold beverages.
You
would have known.
You said that last week?
Probably said it a lot of times, but it's okay, Reg. We are getting older. So 1-4. Really interesting story quickly, Reggie.
Yeah.
As I was, you know, preparing for this.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Wilson and Bob Lenarduzzi tell a story of a lot of the Honduran supporters, and they did have some, and they were talking about how it was raining like buckets.
Yeah.
You know, during that game or that time leading up to that magical qualifying week, a lot of the Honduran supporters made a mistake and flew or went to St. John instead of St. John's. So they actually missed the game.
Yeah.
So there you go. So Reggie goes 1-4, guys. A valiant effort.
Oh, well. I guess I don't know my Canadian soccer that well, eh?
He was close with Halifax and Virginia. Those are pretty close, but close only counts in while you can finish it.
Well, that's a good... like I said before, I love that segment. I love that. 1-4, that's not good, bro. That's not good at all.
The numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. So we'll definitely keep going with that. Maybe I can make amends next week. To end off the show this week, guys, we're going to finish it off with our goal of the week. What a hit.
Oof.
This week's goal comes from, sorry, guys, again, the EPL. But you can't deny this, right? Can
this
you?
This was a no-doubter. This is a no-doubter. No-brainer.
Manchester City versus Liverpool, game of the week.
Was it Manchester City?
Oh, sorry. Manchester United versus Liverpool, game of the week. And Christian Benteke hits a bike. Not a normal bike.
Ugh.
Bike with power and direction.
No-doubter.
De Gea had no shot at it. And it was funny. The commentator was like, De Gea didn't move, and I think it's because he didn't think that Benteke had it in him to hit it like that.
That was my thought. Who tries that?
Exactly.
And that's why these guys are world-class players.
Exactly.
There's nothing else to say about it. Who tries that? And he did, and it came off.
And it came off, and here's how it sounded.
Are you beauty! What a head, son! What a head!
Ball is first to it. Gomez. Klein. Ibe. Young's the defender. I'll place it in. Benteke, wow!
Has he hit that or what? Old Trafford stunned into silence. That is a fabulous goal.
Well, this is a showpiece occasion, and that's a showstopper. Benteke, absolutely spectacular. The timing couldn't have been better. And I don't even think De Gea was thinking he can pull it off as good as that. That is absolutely sublime from Christian Benteke. Sublime.
What a head, son! What a head!
And there you have it. That's how it sounded. What a strike.
Looked
what a
good, sounded good. Yeah. What else can you say? That was easily the goal of the week, the hit of the week.
The hit of the week, for indeed. Sure. So, if guys, again, as usual, if you haven't seen it, we have a link to it on our website. You can watch it directly from our website if you haven't. Go over footballweekly.com and take a look. Another week, another show.
Another show. Guys, we really appreciate it. We've been hearing back from people personally around us, but again, let us know how we're doing on all the mediums that Reggie always mentions. Yep. We want to hear from you. Okay, we appreciate everybody listening. It's awesome. It's great. The support is welcome for sure, but hit us up on all those mediums.
Definitely. Take advantage of the forum. You can talk about anything you want in there, football related. If you have anything to say to Joe or myself, put it in there. We'll get back to you, definitely. So, again, Joe.
Guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for being so welcoming, Reggie.
Not a problem. You have anything else to say?
I can't wait to talk about some of these games next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Tune in, guys, because it's going to be great to talk about one game in particular, that's for sure.
Well, there's League Cup 2, and Arsenal's playing Tottenham, so we might have a little talk about that as well. But definitely for tomorrow, 7:45, I'll be up and at them very early, and we'll talk about that next week. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you then.